This weekend we had the opportunity to talk with both young and old about worldviews, various belief systems out there. And I told them yesterday, this morning, we were going to be looking at a Christian worldview. And I asked each and every one of you as you were coming in, do you hold to a Christian worldview? I think most people would say, absolutely, I do. And yet the reality is, according to research, not that many people actually believe in a Christian worldview. According to Barna Research, let me see if I can get my clicker working here. There we go. Only about 4% of the population actually holds to a true Christian worldview. 4%. And yet you think about how many people in the United States of America make that claim. That yes, I'm a Christian. Now, for those of you who were not here yesterday, we asked the question, what exactly is a worldview? Basically, the worldview is how you see everything. You see it through the lens of God's Word, or do you see it through the lens of what the world is telling you? Your worldview is basically shaped by things like your education, your religious beliefs, your life experiences, your environment, and it helps us to answer those major questions of life. Where did I come from? Why am I here? Where am I going to go when I die? But not just that, your worldview also trickles into other areas of your life. And it determines how you look at things like politics or law or history. In fact, your worldview shapes quite literally how you perceive everything. This morning I want us to talk about a true Christian worldview. If we were to stop right now and go knock on every door in this community, and we ask everybody, hey, are you saved? Do you believe in God and are you saved? What do you think most people would say? I dare say that most people in San Angelo would say absolutely. Most people believe that ultimately everybody is saved. And yet, that's not what the Bible says. Most of those people who would say, yes, absolutely, I'm saved, deep down they don't have a biblical or a Christian worldview. And sadly, that's even within the church today. Many people don't. You look all across the United States of America, and you've got all of these individuals who say, yeah, absolutely, I'm a Christian. But let me ask, are we acting like Christians? The phrase has been said, and I don't really care for this phrase, but the phrase has been said that we are, quote, a Christian nation. Now, I don't believe that. I don't hold to that. But folks, think about it for just a moment. If we really were a Christian nation, why have we legalized abortion? Why are we legalizing same-sex marriage? Why are we putting garbage on the television at night? Why do we produce 82% of the world's pornography? That doesn't sound like a Christian nation to me. When you think about what it takes to have a true biblical worldview, there's a lot of people out there who basically, they're not interested in serving God. They're not interested in true doctrine. They're not interested in holiness. They're not interested in following after Him. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and open it up to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to spend quite a bit of time there. We had read for us verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Very first point that I want to make sure nobody in this room misses is, folks, there really is a narrow gate. There is a narrow gate which tells me that not everybody is going to heaven. Now, that's not a popular theme today. In the year 2012, we don't like to think that. We certainly don't like to say it. Because after all, what we're trying to sell to everybody is this idea that God is love and that love and grace are going to cover everybody. That's not what that scripture says. Enter by the narrow gate. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by that. But notice it doesn't stop there. Notice it's not just talking about the narrow gate. We talk about the narrow gate quite often in religious settings, but that's not all it says. Take a look, verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult or narrow is the way which leads to life. There are few who find it. Oh, we talk about the narrow gate, but how often do we actually talk about that narrow or the difficult path? We don't do that. And so what we've got in the church is we got a lot of people who are on the broad path thinking they're getting to the narrow gate. Folks, that's not what the text says. The text talks about the fact that in order to get to that narrow gate, you've got to be on the narrow or the difficult path. I am very afraid that within the church, what we have done is we've sold this idea that, yes, there is a plan of salvation. We can find it in the Bible. And part of that is to be baptized. And so our kids, they go through that, and then they spend the rest of their lives basically just like the world. They get baptized, and then we don't ever get them onto that narrow path, that difficult way. And they think they're okay. And you say, Brad, I don't think that's the case. I got the facts to back it up. Trust me. The reason I say I got the facts, you look at any of the major polling institutes, Barna, Pew Research, Gallup, all of them are saying the same thing, and that is the reality shows that we have the same exact issues within Christendom as we do outside. You look at things like divorce, abortion, pornography. You realize, yes, it's happening out there in the world, but guess what? It's happening in here too, isn't it? And you say, but Brad, those research groups are talking about all the various denominations. That's not us. Well, guess what? I've traveled all across the United States of America, and I've had the opportunity to talk to our kids, and guess what? It's us as well. I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'm afraid that what we're doing is we are teaching baptism basically like a flu shot. That's all you need. You get it, boom, you're done, I'm okay, I'm covered. And we've completely forgotten that there is a narrow path. There's a difficult way. And so our kids, they get this flu shot, and then they go right back out into the world and they're living their lives on the broad way. In other words, we have not adopted a true Christian worldview. When you think about other things like this that we poke fun at, sometimes we talk about the sinner's prayer. And we point out accurately, by the way, that that's not found in the Bible. And we get upset about the fact that is leading people astray as a guarantee to heaven. And yet, my fear is, are we doing a similar delusion into thinking that baptism is a guarantee to heaven and forgetting about the fact that there is also true repentance and that there is living faithfully, isn't there? Are we really putting on the new man? Take a look at what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and you put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. You know, if I asked every single one of you as you were coming in, do you have a Christian worldview? Our immediate gut response is, sure, absolutely. But if I ask you, are you living that way? Then we've got to stop and take check. And we've got to take inventory. Because the reality is, every single one of us probably knows individuals who are dressing immodestly. We know of individuals who are practicing immorality out of one side of their mouth, and yet, guess what? They're worshiping God out of the other. Well, folks, let me tell you what. That is not the picture of a biblical worldview. We got to wake up and we got to realize many of our young people, basically what they're doing is they are living their lives like the world, thinking they're going to get into the narrow gate. At what point do we stop and we wake up and we realize we're not supposed to be like them? We're different. Show me somewhere in the Bible where it shows that we can live worldly and be pleasing to God. Because I don't find that. You look at some of the things that we're doing. For instance, let's use this week as an example. We have a youth rally. How frustrating is it to me that you guys put on a youth rally and yet the reality is in some homes, you know what we were doing 10, 15, 20 minutes before we leave to go to the youth rally? We're watching garbage on the television. The kids come and they listen to a guy speak for a few hours. They go home and they turn right back on the same show on television, or they pick up a video game that's immoral. And then we wonder, we have the audacity to wonder, why are our kids not spiritual? Well, maybe it's because we're allowing them to be on the broad way. Maybe it's because deep down we haven't adopted this concept that we got to be on the narrow path. And so what our kids do is basically they look around and they take comfort. They look at other kids who are talking like they talk. They're dressing like they dress, and they think everything is good. Because after all, who are they judging themselves by? You know, they even may think they're one of the better guys because after all, they got on a Christian t-shirt occasionally. Well, let me ask you, is that how we measure our Christianity? Because when you look at it, what we're doing ultimately, we're comparing ourselves by ourselves and not by this book right here. And listen to me, church, I'm afraid that we're guilty of this as well. And that sometimes, instead of comparing ourselves to this book, we're looking out at the world and we're saying, okay, it's all right because we're not like them. Well, the time has come we stop using them as our comparison and start using this book. And we adhere to the fact that there really is a Christian worldview. You want an example of it? Folks, all you got to do, if you want to know, does my family, or have we embraced a Christian worldview? Are we on that narrow path? All you got to do is look at Facebook. Oh, yeah. That'll let you know real quick, won't it? Or you got people who are dressing immodestly, who are putting up sayings that are ungodly, who are dressing immodestly. Now, here's the interesting thing. Had I laid in front of you Facebook pages from Christians and non-Christians, you know, in many, many cases, you couldn't tell the difference. And by the way, everything I just showed you, it's all from quote-unquote Christian young people. And yeah, that is a deacon in the church, the father of those two young ladies. You see, we've forgotten that there really is a narrow or difficult path. And here's the dirty little secret. I think some of our kids don't really want to be on it. Because they tasted what the world has to offer and they like the broad way. And instead of being troubled, here's the problem. We got a lot of kids who are very comfortable thinking, I can be on the broad way, get to the narrow gate. Instead of realizing the broad way doesn't lead to the narrow gate. So here's what I'm saying this morning, folks. Let's stop being hypocrites about it. Let's stop hiding it. And let's actually deal with the problem that we've got. And that is, many of our kids are idolizing. They would rather be like Hollywood people or pro athletes rather than they would Jesus Christ. That's a problem. When our kids are looking at people like a Britney Spears or a Kim Kardashian rather than Jesus Christ. That is not a Christian worldview. That is a secular worldview. In far, far too many cases, what we're doing is we're basing our worldview on a godless culture. And we look around and yet we think we're okay. Because after all, we had that shot. How many of our young people and old folks are deceived? They don't get it. You guys know I'm the kind of preacher that likes to just land the plane. Folks, instead of being honest with ourselves, here's what we're doing. We're deceiving ourselves. And in many cases, what we're doing is we're filling their minds with anti-God sentiment. We send them off to school where they're learning that there is no God, and they're blending right on in with the world, and yet we expect them to be Christian. Too much of our worldview is coming from a degraded culture rather than the Bible. Let me say that again to make sure everybody understands what I'm saying. Too much of how we look at everything is coming from out there rather than this right here. At what point are we going to change it, folks? At what point are we going to start counting the cost and realizing we need to do something? Now, you look at that and you say, wait a second. Is Brad saying that if we've got a Christian or biblical worldview that we're not going to sin? No. It's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is if you really are here this morning and you've got a Christian worldview, you're going to occasionally mess up, but that is going to grieve your heart. And you're going to try your very best the next day to do better and to do better and to walk in the light. And you're going to end up hating what God hates. And yet I think too often we don't. You know, if we hate what God hates, let me ask you, would we listen to the music we listen to? Would we watch the television shows that we watch? Would we play the video games? Would we use the conversation we use? What we got to do is we got to get back into this book and understand that a biblical worldview is not just something we do occasionally. It's a way of life. It is a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week thing. Young people, it's not just something you do on Sundays. We will seek things that are pleasing to Him. Not pleasing to ourselves. Now, how many times do we make decisions based on what we want? What is pleasing to us? My wife and I, we call it the I Me generation. Pleasing self. Well, you know, if you've got a Christian worldview, who are you worried about pleasing? You're worried about pleasing God. And please hear me. Understand, I am not trying to be hard to be hard. And I'm not being mean just to kind of wake you up. What I want you to understand is I love you, I love the church, and I love God, and we need to deal with some of this stuff. We got to stop playing church. We keep looking around for future preachers, future leaders. Well, guess what? If we keep allowing people to be on the broad path, we're going to keep having weak leaders and weak preachers. And it's gotten to the point today where you really can't even say anything about it because we've all got thin skin. And you can't say that about me. And you certainly can't say that about my children. After all, you may offend me. And so what have preachers done? Preachers have stopped preaching the whole counsel of God from a pulpit. And elders have stopped getting up and rebuking us when we need it. Because after all, we don't want to be offended. Well, let me ask you something, church. What about if it's an offense to God? What if we're doing something that He finds offensive? Is our skin so thin that we can't hear that? That we don't want somebody to point it out anymore? Take a look at Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 7. He repeats the same phrase. He says, "Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." He says it again in verse 7. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." Do we actually consider our ways? Or are we just looking at the world and comparing ourselves to them? We had 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5 pointed out earlier today. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? The Bible says to examine ourselves. Not only that, take a look. You think about 1 Timothy chapter 3, or 2 Timothy chapter 4. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Could that be the year 2012? When basically we want to be entertained? You see, here's the real deal. If we are going to be on that narrow path, we got to make some changes in life. And we got to realize that it's not about what the world has said is a priority. When I woke up this morning and I thought about what I wanted to say to you, folks, it's not about your child's ACT score. And I'm not here to build up their self-esteem in any fashion. I'm not here worried about the latest fashions and whether these guys are wearing it. I'm not worried about what they're making on their test scores. I'm not worried if your bank account is in the plus category right now. What I'm worried about is whether or not we're going to spend eternity with Him. We let all this other stuff determine how we think and how we live. That's not a Christian worldview. And so what we've done is we've turned our ears, our itching ears, towards men. And basically what I'm seeing as I travel is we got a lot of congregations that have been eating cotton candy week after week after week. Oh, it tastes good. But can you live on a diet of cotton candy? What we got to get back to is some meat. We got to stop the entertainment. And we got to realize that there really is a narrow path. This morning, I would like for you to take inventory and to ask yourself, do you or your child, do you like the same things that the world likes? Do you do the same thing the world? Do you dress the same way they do? Do you look the same way? Do you talk the same way? Because chances are, if your answer is yes, guess what? You're not on that narrow path. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, he continues. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Folks, listen to me. If you're not on the narrow path, you don't even know the wolves are there. Because you don't know how to spot them. He goes on in verse 16 to say, you'll know them by their fruits. The men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Look at what he's saying, folks. Because he's about to land the plane. You want to know whether or not you are on a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview? What kind of fruit are we producing? Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. If I were to ask you this morning, what kind of fruit are you producing? What about your children? Your grandchildren? What about your neighbors or your coworkers? What about the community of San Angelo? What kind of fruit are we producing? Because otherwise, what he is saying is, we are nothing but thorn bushes. And folks, those thorn bushes are not going to be sticking around. If we've got a biblical worldview, if we're looking at this thing right, then what we realize is, we should have the fruit to prove it. The Bible says that those who are not producing fruit, what? They're going to be thrown into the fire. Is this serious? Absolutely. Folks, if we're living our life like the world, if we look like the world, if we dress like the world, then there's a good chance that we've joined the world on that broad path. I hope this morning, as you think about whether you're on the narrow path or the broad path, I hope you will look at every aspect of your life, your marriage. You're basing your marriage on the Bible or on the world? Or what about your home, your children? Are you raising them according to the world or are you raising them according to God's Word? Or what about the way that you deal with your finances? Are you doing that according to what the world tells you or what the Word tells you? What about just your basic life? You see, there is a narrow path. And just because we hit the water so many years ago doesn't mean that we are currently on that narrow path. I recognize the fact that I could have come in here this morning and I could have given you a warm and fuzzy sermon. I could have used big words and really neat analogies. But I don't think we need that. I think what we need is a heavy dose of the truth. I think we need young people who are on the narrow way and they realize, you know what, I may have to stand alone occasionally. There may be times where I don't look like the world and dress like the world and talk like the world, and it's okay because I'm heading for that narrow gate, and that's more important than being in the world. In fact, what we need are young people who realize every aspect of their lives should be on that narrow path. Dating, for instance. If I were to ask these young people in the front, what does dating normally lead to? I suspect if they're honest with me, you know what all of them would say? Sexual activity. Okay, if you're on the Christian worldview, if you've got a true Christian view of everything, why would you jump into that? Why do you just blindly do something that you know is going to end up being an abomination to God? Or how about this one, young people? Radical Christians are people not who just wear T-shirts, but these are people who will honor and obey their parents even when they think they're wrong. Why? Because that's what God says. Radical Christians are individuals who realize dressing sensually is not something that God would approve of. Why would I come here and teach and preach on a Christian worldview this strongly? Number one, because we need to be reminded what it is. Number two, because I have four children. And folks, let me land the plane for you this morning. I want some of these young people to be strong enough in 10 or 15 years to get in this pulpit and tell my children what they need to hear. I don't want them sugarcoating everything. I want them to look at my kids and say, let's stop playing church and let's get on the narrow path. How do we do it? Number one, we got to instill His precepts into our heart. We got to get back into the book. Number two, we've got to spend time with Him in prayer. I think in the church sometimes we've stopped praying. We don't really think prayer works. And we kind of approach it with that, well, you know, God, if you're out there kind of mentality. Number three, we've got to start meditating on His Word. And young people, there is a difference between reading and meditating. Ask any student of God's Word. Number four, we've got to find somebody who can help us be accountable. And you say, whoa, time out. Brad, are you one of those Boston Movement guys? No. But I am one of those guys who believes that your best friend is going to be the person who tells you the truth, even if it hurts. And we need somebody who can come over to our house and say, hey, why you got those DVDs? Why are you wearing that outfit? What do you mean you weren't at church Sunday night? You went to a ball game. We need to have somebody who will hold us accountable and will tell us the truth, even when it hurts. We need to pursue holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. We need to seek to please God in every aspect of our lives. Whether that be our marriage, whether that be our work. And finally, we need to get more into Him and less into the world. Parents, grandparents, what we need to do is we need to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit within our home. And not the fruits of the world. Our kids are getting plenty of that. What they need is more love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And finally, 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. Notice what this is, folks. This is a building block. You know what he's telling you? He's saying that it's not done when you get wet. This is a building procedure. First, you start out with faith. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. And so we're growing and we're building and we're getting ourselves on that path that leads to the narrow gate. If you are here this morning and you walked in and deep in your heart, you thought you were on the Christian path, on that narrow way, on the Christian worldview, but you realize after hearing this, maybe you've been on the broad way. I want you to fix it this morning. For those of you who are not Christians, let me ask you why. What are you waiting on? Because if you are here this morning and you're not a Christian, I need you to understand there's no question about which path you're on. You're on the broad path that leads to destruction. If you are here and you're not a Christian, then I'm going to ask you to do something that this book talks about. Not what I want you to do, but rather what this book talks about. When you go through the book of Acts and you look at all of the conversions of men, you find a pattern. And these are people who hear the truth about the fact of Jesus Christ dying for their sins. They not only hear it, they believe it enough to change their lives, to repent. They realize, I've been doing something wrong. They're willing to confess the name of Jesus so that one day He will confess them before the Father. Not only that, they're willing to be immersed for the remission of their sins. You go through Acts and you find person after person doing this very thing. And then there's that next one of living faithfully till death. If you are here and you're not a Christian, I'm going to ask you to change that today. Because you have the opportunity. If you realize, you know what, I haven't been doing things I need to do. God is probably not pleased with me. I'm going to ask you to obey the gospel this morning. For those of us who are Christians, and I recognize that's the vast majority of people in this room. I really hope and pray as we sing this invitation song that you will take stock in yourself and ask yourself, have I been on the broad way? Have I been on the broad way hoping it leads to the narrow gate? Have I been allowing my children to be on the broad way, doing things of the world, hoping that they're going to get to that narrow gate? If you need to make a change, today is the day to do that. If you're looking at your life realizing, you know what, it's time I get back to that narrow path, I hope you'll let that be known. This morning, as together we stand and we sing.